21st. Today is Census Day, and that means we're officially 1 year out from the start of the 2020 census. A lot of the focus so far has been on whether the census will have a question about citizenship. But there's also a lot at stake for political representation in Congress and what the Electoral College will look like starting in 2024. Emily Badger writes about urban policy for The Upshot at the New York Times. Emily, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy Census Day.
Yes, we're all celebrating, really. Now talk about how the census, this count of all or as many of the people as they can count in the United States, translates into how many congressional representatives each state gets.
So the 435 seats in Congress that get divvied up between the states are divided based on what the Constitution requires as an actual enumeration of all of the people who are living here. And so this is the fundamental reason why the census exists. Today, the Census Bureau asks lots of other questions. Are you a renter? Are you a homeowner? What's your race? Who else lives in your house with you? But really, at the end of the day, the whole point of this exercise, as it was originally envisioned, was to collect the data that makes it possible to apportion Congress and ultimately to apportion other political seats within state legislatures and things like that. So, you know, that is kind of fundamentally at the end of the day what this exercise is about. And it's also what we're fighting about in this legal battle over the citizenship question.
Yeah, we'll get into that citizenship question because that could have a big impact on that overall count. But that 435 number you mentioned, no matter how much the population of the United States goes up or which state it's in, that is the magic number. That's how many representatives we're going to have. It doesn't go up with our population currently, right?
Right. And so every 10 years after the decennial census happens, we go through this exercise of reapportioning that number. And invariably, you know, a couple of states lose a congressional seat or two, and as a result, they also lose an electoral vote attached to it. A couple of states gain it. You know, there are these kind of big demographic patterns that have been playing out over the last several years where, you know, the Sun Belt is growing, a lot of Midwestern and Northeastern states are shrinking. And as those population shifts happen, political power shifts a little bit. So, you know, we are expecting, regardless of what happens with the citizenship question, that a handful of states are going to either lose or gain a seat in Congress after the 2020 census, just as a result of population change.
So who is looking at gaining seats probably after the 2020 census?
Well, so there are some big growing states that we expect that are going to gain seats, like Texas, Florida, North Carolina, Oregon are probably going to gain a seat. Some Midwestern states, Illinois, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Minnesota are probably going to lose one. And again, that's sort of part of this longer-term pattern we're talking about of kind of people moving to the Sun Belt and a lot of Midwestern, Northeastern states sort of shrinking. So those are some of the baseline expectations that we have before we even get into talking about what counting immigrants has to do with all of this.
And this doesn't just affect seats in Congress. The seats in Congress also translate into, well, the seats in Congress plus two translate into Electoral College votes.
Right. The number of votes that each state has is this, you know, very simple equation of the two senators that you have plus the number of congressional seats that you have. So, you know, there's power in a lot of different ways riding on the line for states in this. And, you know, for that reason, there are demographers sitting in state governments all around the country who are trying to do population projections in order to figure out, you know, what is going to happen? Are we going to lose power? Or are we going to gain power? Are we going to sort of hold where we are?
Talking to Emily Badger from the New York Times about the 2020 census, which kicks off a year from today, and the impact it could have on politics around the country, and this question about citizenship. Emily, sum up some of the controversy behind this citizenship question on the census for us.
So it is really remarkable that we are less than a year out from the Census Bureau starting to count people, and we are still debating whether or not this question is going to be added to the census. Because normally, you know, the Census Bureau does all kinds of tests. Anytime they talk about changing even the slightest thing in the census, there's lots of hand-wringing and modeling and analysis. But here we are, less than a year out, and the question at issue is fairly straightforward. It's, is this person a citizen of the United States? And the Trump administration would like to add that question to the census, and a whole host of groups, including a number of Democratic-leaning states, a bunch of local cities, some immigrant advocacy groups have filed a whole raft of lawsuits challenging that, because their primary concern at the end of the day is that this question is going to discourage people in immigrant communities from participating in the census. I mean, a lot of people already feel somewhat nervous about giving the government information about them. Households that have undocumented immigrants in them, I think, are particularly likely to be afraid of that process. And so the concern is that by adding this question to the census, we're going to discourage a lot of people from participating. And, you know, we're not going to equally discourage everyone from participating. We're going to specifically discourage certain groups from participating. And so that means, in terms of talking about political power or federal funds that are also doled out based on the census headcount, that communities, states, cities that have a relatively high number of immigrants in them stand a greater chance of being undercounted and of sort of losing some of their political power as a result of that.
So for the way those votes are apportioned, the congressional seats, the Electoral College votes, are non-citizens counted by the census factored into that divvying up?
Yes. Everybody who lives here is counted in that divvying up, whether you are a child, an adult, an immigrant, not an immigrant, whether you are here legally or not. The Constitution is fairly sort of clear that in an actual enumeration, we are just counting all of the bodies. We are not only divvying up political power to people who have a right to vote or who are of voting age.
And Republicans have raised concerns about that, right?
Yeah, so their concern is that this system sort of biases political power in favor of places that have a lot of immigrants in them. So, you know, the state of California has a very large immigrant population, both documented and undocumented. And as a result, they get sort of proportionately more political power than the state of Louisiana or the state of Michigan, parts of the country that don't have very large immigrant populations. And in aggregate, that sort of means, you know, there are blue states that are benefiting from this and red states aren't. There are big cities that are benefiting from this and more rural communities are losing out as a result. So conservatives argue that the system that we are currently using and that is used by states in order to proportion state legislatures as well, that it's really favoring cities, kind of urban areas and more liberal-leaning places at the expense of rural and conservative communities.
What would be some of the impacts of making that change of only counting? Or actually, let's back up. What would it take if someone wanted to say, okay, congressional seats are only allocated based on voting citizens in the country?
So if we only allocated it based on people who are actually citizens, and, you know, this is somewhat what President Trump suggested in his tweet this morning that he thinks should happen. California would take the biggest hit. You know, California, based on what we think we know about the immigrant population there, would probably lose about 4 seats that would get distributed to other parts of the country. You know, it would get distributed to places like Michigan, Minnesota, Colorado. Louisiana would probably benefit from that. But Texas, which, you know, a lot of people think of it as a red state, also stands to lose because there's a very large immigrant population there. Same with Florida. The state of New York would probably also lose out. But in order for this to happen, you know, if this is really the future that you would like to see, we would have to have a constitutional amendment to sort of fundamentally change the idea that we are basing congressional apportionment on an actual enumeration of the people, on counting everyone.
Getting back to this effort to put this citizenship question in the census, as you mentioned, there are court challenges. There have been a lot of twists and turns. Do we know where we are on that and how soon they're likely to resolve that?
So this question is now before the Supreme Court. They will hear oral arguments on it later this month in April, and we're expecting by June to have a decision from them. These cases have moved through the courts much faster than they normally would because the Census Bureau is under an incredible time crunch in order to, you know, go through all of the steps that they need to actually execute the census next year. So they need to literally print like the paper censuses that will be mailed to people. And so the Supreme Court said, okay, we will expedite this. We will consider this as soon as possible so that we can make a decision in time to quickly either include this question or not include this question in the census next year. So in just a couple of months, I think that that this question will be resolved.
We'll leave it there for now. Emily, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah.
That was Emily Badger, writer with The Upshot at The New York Times. She was with us today to talk about what changes are in store for political representation after the 2020 census and an ongoing legal battle about a citizenship status question on that census.